Sitting in the back, and I realized that about a year ago is when we closed up Heavy Metal here in Greenville, and it didn't seem like a year, but it's been good to be able to come here and just kind of lick my wounds, I guess. The first week I walked in, I remember Becky asking me what it felt like or how I was or something to that effect, and I said, you know, it's kind of like death. It's kind of like grieving a death, I think I said to you. So everybody's got to grieve differently, right? And sometimes that can bring out some bad in us when you're grieving something. So thanks for letting me just hang out and be and heal up, right? That was a wild time, and I thought I was all right. Thanks for asking that question, though. Thanks for asking me how it was, because it made me confront what was really going on, and then thanks for letting me just hang here and be who I am and get healed up a little bit for those years of running like we did with Heavy Metal Church. It was just it was a great run, exhausting, and I needed some time. So appreciate you guys for allowing me to do that. Let me get into the sermon. I want to talk about leprosy today, the lepers. In the Bible, the word leprosy is mentioned upwards of 40 times. Most of you know leprosy was common in Bible times, and many references to leprosy were well understood by those individuals. You know, when a leper came on the scene, they knew, as you see in the video, exactly how they were to respond. You know, I think that one guy drew a sword. He had some sort of a handle, and it looked like he was ready to use it. I didn't catch that when I first watched it. But they would have well understood what leprosy meant for them and coming in contact with it. The main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible is that it's a graphic and symbolic illustration of sin's destructive power on mankind. In ancient Israel, leprosy was a powerful object lesson of the debilitating influence of sin in a person's life. God had given the Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections. If you want to look that up, it's in Leviticus 13, and it's pretty unforgiving when you read that text. I'm going to read a couple of them here to you out of 13, 2 and 3, and then 45 and 46, but you might go through there and just try to experience that for yourself, how unforgiving society had to act toward the leprous. So if found to be infected, the leprous person has to A leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of their head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out. Excuse me, cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside of the camp. The leper was then considered utterly unclean physically and spiritually. No one was allowed to come in contact with him except for the priest. So leprosy, it's incurable by man. Many believed God inflicted the disease of leprosy upon people for the sins they had committed. In fact, those with leprosy were so despised and loathed that they were not allowed to live in any community with their own people. Among the 61 defilements of ancient Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in seriousness. A leper wasn't allowed to come within. Now look, I don't know where I got this dimension. And I wrote this sermon in 2018 and kind of redid it. And I went back and I tried to find where I found this dimension, and I don't know where I found it. So forgive me if it's wrong, but I think it's telling for today. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human, including his own family. The disease was considered to be so revolting that the leper wasn't permitted to come in with 150 feet of anyone when the wind was blowing. Seems pretty extreme, doesn't it? Lepers lived in a community with other lepers until they either got better or they died. And this was the only way people knew to contain the spread of the contagious forms of leprosy. It's probably hard for us to imagine this in our age of medical treatments and so on, but can you imagine how lonely and desperate and hopeless a leper in that time must have felt? They were only allowed to live with other lepers and had to cut off contact with family and friends in the community that they had grown up with, to be quarantined to and isolated to a camp to ensure the disease wouldn't spread to others. So basically, you know, in other words, they were cast aside. They were set aside. They were abandoned and forgotten. I had a list here of some things that might describe lepers, and just to kind of rehash some of the things that I went through here earlier. So lepers, they're unclean. They actually had to shout out unclean, unclean, to warn people when they come in contact with them. They were seen as dirty. Their disease could be physically seen. It could be recognized just by looking at them. It was contagious. And that's why they were isolated for long periods of time. Very contagious. If leprosy persisted and it didn't heal, there was a provision. I want to say it was, again, you can go back to Leviticus and check this, but it was in one-week increments. They were to go back to the, when leprosy showed up, they'd go back to the priest in one-week increments, and if it continued to persist, at that point, they would have been cast out of the community and put in with the leper colonies. They would have been avoided. They would have been, people would have been very fearful of them, and because it was contagious. Nowadays, there are still leper colonies, by the way. I was looking for some videos. I was looking for some people teaching on leprosy, and I ran across a video of a Hawaiian island that is used as a leper colony. Never knew that. Still active. Still people living there. Okay. So these people are imprisoned by, nowadays we know this is a curable infection. Nowadays we can cure that, but these people were imprisoned by something that was absolutely curable. So what they faced was a life sentence, and most died as a result of that disease. On the way to their death, they would have lost fingers, toes, ears, body parts. They would have lost parts of their body. The disease affected the nervous system, and usually pain was dulled. I mean, you would think, well, how can you lose a finger and not just be in excruciating pain, or a hand or a foot? Well, their pain was dulled. Their nervous system was affected. So that many times wounds or injuries were incurred on them, and they didn't even know it. They didn't know they had lost a finger or an ear or whatever because their pain was dulled. Now some, again, I've said this before, some equated leprosy to having committed a sin, and so it was assumed that they deserved the disease. Okay? I want to go back and read Matthew 8 here, where the video actually was from. This is Matthew 8. This is English Standard Version. It says, "When he came down from the mountain, and great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I'm going to step back. I read this morning in the King James Bible. I inflict that pain on myself quite often. I love the King James because it makes me look things up, right? It read a little different. It said, and the King James Version said, and I didn't go back and look up the translation and all that of the words, but it said, the leper came and worshiped him. It's a little bit different. It's a lot different. Came and worshiped him before he ever asked him a question. So the leper came, knelt, worshiped him before he asked, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. So if we look at this passage from a standpoint of sin, most of us as followers of Christ can make that translation over really easily. We can easily see hope for a seemingly hopeless, sinful life that can't be remedied by our own efforts. The key to be learned from this incident is that sin defiles us in the sight of God, but through Christ we can be healed of the plague of sin that separates us from God. Now we know that God loathes sin. He hates it. It's repulsive to him. And sin bans us from the presence of God because God will not allow sinful man in his sight or in his presence. This is only true of, I had a note in here. This is not only true of, I don't know why I had this in here. This is not only true of sins with a sexual connotation that are normally regarded as filthy and repulsive, but it also includes forms of disobedience and rebellion. After all, isn't all sin just rebellion against God? So God abhors sin. He hates it. And we know that Jesus allowed for sinners to have relationship with God. Under much scrutiny and criticism, Jesus interacted with sinners who were avoided and even pushed aside by the supposed keepers of the law. If you go into Matthew 9, this is a side note, but I'm going to make mention of it. We got all day, right? Matthew 9. Let's start in verse 9. It says, then Jesus passed from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office and said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard that, and he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he goes on to say, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The story of the lepers is should be a reminder of that Christ came for the diseased. Christ came for the sinful. Sometimes I think once we get well, we forget that. It's easy to do. Those who have been redeemed from sin by grace through faith can stand in God's presence in full confidence that we are accepted and loved and are left with nothing to do but praise God for his goodness toward us. The leper there in Matthew 8 did just that. He was cleansed, and he immediately worshiped. He immediately praised God. He immediately responded with joy because of the goodness that God had showed to him. I kind of want to switch gears here in a little bit. We're going to continue to discuss these lepers, but I want to try to bring it around to a modern day idea of leprosy, if you'll let me do that. So lepers of old were treated much like modern day felons or addicts or the homeless maybe. So lepers of the old were treated much like these people are today. These people, the addict, the homeless, the felon, are often outcasts from society, you know. And so they kind of become spiritual lepers in a sense. And what do you do? What do you do with this demographic of people? You know, they're outcasts. They're seen as unclean. Maybe they're repulsive to some. Definitely they're avoided. I remember a story about a friend of mine who happens to be an addict, and many of you would probably recognize him. He lives in the neighborhood, and he's doing really, really well. But he told me a story one time of this happened to be a pastor and his wife. And again, people don't always know how to respond. Okay, so I'm not casting any stones here. But this pastor and his wife had sponsored some sort of a meeting in town, and he was walking to the meeting. Right now, this guy looks a little bit like me, so he's walking down the sidewalk, right, to walk into this meeting. And he runs into the pastor, which I think he recognized. The pastor didn't know who he was. So he's like, hey, pastor, or whatever he said to him. And this guy turns around, grabs his wife, locks the door on his car, and got in a defensive position, basically. And he said that the guy was afraid of me. He was afraid of me. And now he wasn't mad about it. He was just told me this, and it made me think about the situation of modern-day lepers. You know, and how oftentimes people see them. And it just happened to be a pastor. It could have been anyone that saw him and responded that way. So a modern-day leper, the addict, the homeless, the felon, they've got some things going on that I wanted to try and bring out, just bring out in the light here. A lot of times, these folks are imprisoned mentally. They're imprisoned mentally by guilt, by shame, by accusation. It might be that they're imprisoned emotionally from abuse or neglect. My interactions with some of these folks, when you hear stories, it's no wonder they are the way they are. Their upbringings are horrific a lot of times. Their upbringings are almost unbelievable. Some of them are unbelievable. The abuses that they suffered as maybe as little children carry over into adulthood, and so they just wander as someone with a disease of leprosy. They seem to be numb to the disease that's afflicted them. Physically, they carry the scars physically of harmful relationships, substance abuse, and illnesses as related to the substance abuse. You come in contact with an addict. Say someone that uses needles a lot, and you'll actually see you'll see the marks. But sometimes when an infection sets in, you'll actually get to see some pretty nasty looking tissue. And sometimes you don't get to see it because it's inside their body working its way through. But there's that physical effect of this leprosy on them, okay? They are affected spiritually because they know nothing. This is the sad thing. They know nothing of mercy or grace or love. That's really sad. It's and if you get the chance to share this with these folks, it's like a new concept to them. It's like they've never been able to experience that. They might have an idea of what love is, but they don't know what an idea of love from the Father is, agape love. So for some, this is definitely, just like the lepers of old, this can be a life sentence. Some will never see the end of the plight that they seem to find themselves in life. Being a pastor, I got asked to perform a number of funerals over the years. And each one of them actually would usually rejuvenate me, or not that I was happy about it, but it would give me motivation to keep fighting that fight with these people, because I just got sick of burying people without them knowing that they're loved by God or their community. And some would say, yeah, they brought this on themselves. You know, some have, some didn't. Not always did they was these people find themselves in a homeless situation or a situation of becoming a felon or an addict. It's not always their fault. Some had no other alternative because they were born into that life. There's generational addiction. There's generational homelessness. There's generational felons. It's sad. It's really sad when you go into a prison and you see a dad and a son and a grandson all in the same state system. That's sad. That's sad. Something happened along the way, and they somehow caught the disease, right? And don't seem to have a remedy for it. But I just wanted to bring those things out, because everyone has a story. All these people have a story, but most of their stories are never heard or even considered by the public. They're real easy just to dismiss. But if you get a chance to see people or talk to people, maybe imagine them as somebody you love, maybe a child or a grandchild, and say, how would I respond if this was my child? Okay? I was going to talk to you a little bit about some prisoners that I come in contact with as examples. But a couple other minds come to, a couple other names come to mind. So I'm going to share them. People that have actually probably set foot in this building. Yeah, they have. They have. One young lady we met about a year and a half ago, and she would not look you in the eye. So ashamed. So lonely. All she knew is she had to change something, right? She had lost all her teeth from meth use. Lost all her kids. She had four kids. Lost all her kids. Not living with her husband. She was basically all on her own. And suddenly, little by little, this lady got to see that she's loved and that she's cared for. And it was like Jesus touched her, right? And he touched her through people. And you know, obviously I'm talking about somebody from Brianna's Hope. But today, this lady is one like, just like the leper in Matthew 8, that praises God because she has a totally different life and she's been restored, okay? And I won't say her name. You'll know her if you see her. Another lady who I've watched heal up comes here, her story is equally as horrific. And today, you know, she's like a minister to the lepers, like I've never seen. Like you can't stop this lady from ministering to people. And she's being healed as a result of that. It's really neat to watch. But Jesus impacted her about 4 years ago, and suddenly she realized that she's a child of God. She's a daughter to God. And suddenly this new identity springs out of her. And that's neat to see. That's neat to see because she's healed of this leprosy that she didn't even really know existed in her life. Okay, so I'll get off of that. Like leprosy, sin untreated leads to death. We know that. Leading up to death is a time of sin worsening and spreading to the point that some don't see sin as sin. You know, we can be so sinful that we don't even see sin as sin. Anybody been there? Like the diseased skin and limbs of the leper, people can become so numb and dumb to the impact of sin on them and themselves, on themselves and others around them, that they just see it as normal. They become desensitized to sin and don't see the damage that it causes. References to leprosy in the New Testament has a little bit of a different emphasis. References to leprosy in the New Testament stresses God's desire to heal. You read a couple different accounts of Jesus' interactions with lepers, and it's always they're always met with compassion, and the end result is healing. Jesus freely touched these people. That's what amazes me about it, is he freely touched these people with leprosy. And in a time when no one touched a leper, no one touched a leper. While people with leprosy traditionally suffered banishment from family and neighbors, Jesus broke that norm by touching them, by embracing them, by talking to them, by breaking the boundaries of distance. He treated lepers with compassion, again, touching and healing them, and he made it his business to go to places where outcasts and rejects and the forgotten and the set aside hung out. That was his thing. I mean, he went out of his way. If you think about Samaria, which is a whole nother sermon, if you think about when he went to Samaria to find the woman at the well, he was no more welcome there than a Samaritan was welcome in Jerusalem. But yet he went there because the scripture tells us that he, you know, in the King James, it said he must needs go. He had to go. He had no other choice. This is what the Father asked him to do, so he went and did it. He went out of his way to go meet that woman at that well at that time for a purpose of introducing her to grace and mercy and the Father's love. And a totally different life. That's what Jesus was in the business of doing. In these passages, both passages, I'm going to get into Luke 17 in a minute, which is the 10 lepers. But in both passages, Jesus told these guys to go see the high priest or go see the priest. Right? And now we know, as Christians, is that he is our high priest, right? They're already standing in front of the priest. And so we know that we have a high priest at our disposal to heal us of any sin or infirmity. And we can go boldly to him and ask for healing or ask for our chains to be broken and ask to be released from captivity of sin. But oftentimes, men look to men for the answers. Because they don't know where else to look. My point in bringing that up is there's a whole world out there that don't know where to look except to themselves for the answers that plague them, of the problems that plague them, okay? Let's look at Luke 17 now. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went along their way, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner?" And then he said to them, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So here are these guys. They're doing things right. They're keeping their distance. The distance that they knew society expected of them, so that they would remain isolated. But from a distance, they called out to someone that might be able to help them. They knew who Jesus was. They'd probably heard about him, right? They'd probably heard about him because they called him Master. I wonder if they realized that they were talking to the high priest. I don't know. I wonder that. One day we'll figure that out and find that out. But they acted in faith by calling out, but they also acted in obedience by doing what he told them to do. Sometimes these 9 catch a bad rap. I wonder if they were Jews, because he said, go to the priest. Well, that's what a Jew would have done. They had leprosy, and they're going to be cleansed. That was the law. They would have went to the priest, so then they would have had to fall under the rituals that the priest told them to do. So they took off, right? 9 of them take off. The Samaritan turns around. He don't know what he's doing. He's not schooled in the law, necessarily. I don't know. He turns around, probably doesn't even realize he's talking to the priest, but gives glory to God and praises God and gives thanks for the healing that just took place. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? This one that didn't know is suddenly talking to the priest and praising our high priest, Jesus. That Samaritan, he was the outcast among outcasts. Okay? Not only was a leper, not only did he have to live away from society, but he was a Samaritan living amongst the Jews. So he was an outcast among outcasts. That's a pretty low position for this fella. But he went back to worship God, who he had just encountered. I think he got it. I think he got it. It's fun to watch when people get it. He thankfully worshiped on his face. That reminded me of a time and a friend that I met through Chrysalis. He's an addict. He's a recovered addict. His name's David. And I met his sister, used to come and do worship for us at Heavy Metal. And it just hit me when I read this the other day. David described his addiction, and when he had had enough, when he finally come to his end, and he's standing in front of God, and he was raised up in the church, but he was steeped in all kinds of do's and don'ts and stuff that wasn't grace, and all that stuff held him back. But here's what David did, and this was in a youth retreat weekend. And so he's explaining his addiction to these boys and how he was lost and how he didn't know any other way out. So here's what he did. And I'd never seen this before. He laid on his face and he just started praising God. And he's laying here and he's thanking God and he's praising God right in front of these guys like nobody's around. But that's the place that he met. That's the place that he was cleansed from the leprosy of addiction. And it just hit me like that leper was cleansed right then. David, he was cleansed. And he's doing great. And he cooks food for elite athletes in Cincinnati and all these elite people in Cincinnati. And one time he was a scumbag that they would have called the cops on because he was probably rooting through their trash cans, right? Now he's cooking their dinner. That's pretty wild. That's a pretty neat story. But it floored me that he did the exact same thing the leper did. And then I got to thinking about myself, when's the last time that I fell on my face in front of God and praised him and was completely humbled like that and thanked him for cleansing me? When was the last time I worshiped on my face? And I bring these stories up because these folks seem to get it just like that Samaritan leper. They just got it. And so they reacted and they worshiped. And then they go on and share this new love that they've found, this new mercy that they found, this new life that they've found. They go share it with other people, you know? And so that brings me back to, us, you know? Paul calls us ambassadors, representatives of Christ. So we represent our Lord and Savior to the world, who's full of lost and banished and outcast. You know, we represent Christ to the spiritual leper. And so, if we represent him, where's our proof? You know, where's our proof? Where's our proof? I let Sean read this sermon because I wanted to be accountable to him because I love him. And he's an excellent teacher. And I just appreciate him so much. So I let him read this, and he said, be careful of your tone. Because I can probably be a little overbearing and maybe a little intimidating, and it's not where I'm coming from, because I'm going to tattle on myself here in a minute. But do we dare touch the addict? You know? Do we dare get involved with the felon? Do we dare comfort the abused, or demand justice for the injustice that so many of these folks have suffered? That's our jobs. I think that's just a reasonable act of service. It's a reasonable act of worship. You know, if we've been healed from our own leprosy of sin, but we can't do the going and showing that Jesus asked the 10 to do. Remember, he said, go and show the priest. Sometimes I think we lack the go and show. We take it, but we don't go and show. And if we're doing that, then we're just wasting the gift of the blood of Jesus that was freely given to us, that we don't deserve, right? I'm not trying to be overbearing. I'm not trying to be, this isn't coming from a judgmental heart at all. It's coming because what I long to see from the body of Christ is that go and show. Instead of just talking about it and trying to create some other fancy program to convince people to come to our church or whatever, you know. I'm going to tell you a story about me. This is embarrassing. So, 9 years ago, it was 2011, and this was a really wild year for me. And it was a year when I really got serious about my relationship with God, because I'd suffered a ton of loss during that time. I was coming out of a season of just I was a people abuser, and I was a anything abuser. You name it, I would abuse it. Alcohol, drugs, whatever, it didn't matter. I was abusing everything and anything possible, okay? And so I found myself at this church in Tip City, who was being pastored by a man that I trusted. I'd met him years and years before, found out he was pastoring this church, and, you know, I decided I was going to go hang out with him. And And so 2011, August 17th, my neighbor was killed in a motorcycle accident. And we decided we're going to, he had two kids and a wife. And he was 36. So his friends decided we were going to throw a benefit for him to help them bury him, to help the kids start a fund, college fund and stuff like that. So we threw this blowout party at a biker bar. It was a bad place. Anyway, we cooked some hogs, and I'd been up all night cooking these hogs, and we needed a place to put them and keep them warm, keep the meat warm. And I didn't know about anybody that had these big, you know, those electric roasters. Every church has electric roasters, right? So I called the church. I say, "Hey, Pastor, can I borrow some electric roasters for this hog roast we're putting on?" "Sure, go get them." And I had just happened to have a key to the church because I was meeting in this men's group, and somebody had given me a key because somebody wasn't going to be there. I don't know. Anyway, I had a key to this church on my key ring, right? So I looked a lot different then, by the way. I looked more like, probably Pastor Tim, okay? I was clean cut. Not skinny, but I was clean cut. So anyway, I walk in this church to get the roaster pans for this thing, and it was a Mum Festival. Was that in Tip City at this time? Is that right? There was this festival going on. There was a parade that day, right? So here I am, electric roasters in hand. I'm walking through the hall. Nobody there but me, right? Except for this sweet little old lady who happened to be the choir director. And she gave me the business. She gave me what for. Like, where are you going with those? What are you doing in this building? Blah, blah, blah. It went on. And, you know, here I am, greasy jeans on, flannel shirt, a ball hat, a small beard. And I had been up all night cooking. So I was a mess, right? And I'm sure I had dirt and grease and whatever on my face and everything else. So anyway, this lady don't know me from Adam. I'd been going to the church for 6 months, but I snuck up in the balcony because secretly I love the hymns. So I would sneak up into the traditional service, so I could listen to hymns in the balcony. And none of the young folks would see me enjoying it. Not really. I just enjoyed the hymns. So I would go up there, and I didn't want to be around people, so I'd go up there where nobody was, and nobody saw me. Nobody knew who I was, except for some of the people. And so I would go to that service, and then I would sit on the contemporary service. So this lady had no idea who I was, except for I'm hauling their merchandise out of this church. She had every right to ask who I am and what are you doing at these roasters, right? Well, I got offended a little bit because she was getting rude. And she goes, "Well," I said, "Well, Pastor so-and-so said I could take these out and use them." And she goes, "Well, how did you get in here?" And so I whipped that key out and I said, "With this." And she stormed off mumbling something. She was mad as a hornet, right, that I was in there. And she goes, "Well, this is the thing okay." So she says, "Well, you know, they got this festival going on, and I've been running people out of here all day because they keep bringing their kids in here to use the bathroom." Okay, I get it. You don't want people running through your building. You don't want them making messes on the floor or whatever. I get that. But I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, here's this church right on the main drag, and God forbid some child is outside and wets their pants because they can't open the door and let them use their bathroom. And I got offended by that, right? I got offended by this lady. And so here comes the hardness of my heart, and here comes this leprosy that sit in on me, okay? Well, later on that night, I meet the pastor that started the heavy metal church. His band happened to be playing at this biker bar. He has this thing on his vest called, said, the tag on his vest said preacher, and I was off to the races, right? The next day, I was sitting in this biker church in And then I was double dipping. I double dipped church. I did. I did two churches for like 6 months. I was super righteous, I know. Anyway, I let that hardened heart toward this lady's reaction to me keep me from going to that place in the future, okay? And so I got this opinion of her. I got this opinion of the whole crowd there because of that interaction with her. And what I should have done was taken a lesson out of the scripture and just remained there and allowed grace to take hold and try to impact that place, okay? And so I had this problem toward the church. And so then I went off to the races because I wasn't going to let the church impact people that looked like me, even though I looked normal at the time. But that so messed with me that it became my thing, you know? I'm going to go minister to the people that won't walk into the church and take their kid to the bathroom there, right? And so I had this chip on my shoulder, and it became leprous. It really did. And so anyway, that's me telling on myself. I had become jaded toward the church. And it took me a long time to figure out that I was wrong. It took me a long, long time to figure out that I was wrong, a number of years. But I had become numb and desensitized toward brothers and sisters in Christ, and that isn't right. It's not right at all. But what I could have done was come in there and just had a conversation and said, what are we doing here? Why are we treating people that way? Why do we even have that notion in our head? You know, I could have handled it differently, and I didn't. Instead, I just left and didn't impact people that I could have impacted. So I wonder today, sometimes when I interact with the church, not this church, the church as a whole, the body of Christ as a whole, if this leprosy has developed in the church where they become numb and desensitized to the outcasts of society. You know, it's with a leprous heart that we judge people. It's with a leprous heart that we hold people at a distance. You know, one of the things that people used to say to me, and it took somebody to like speak some kind of raw truth to me to get this out of my mind, because people would say, oh, when we were at Heavy Metal, they would say, oh, we just love what you're doing. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, why aren't you doing it? You know? Why aren't you doing it? You got the money. You got the facilities. You got all this stuff. Why aren't you doing it? And I told that to a guy one day, and he goes, did you tell him that? No, I didn't. I just let leprosy take hold in my heart and didn't say anything about it. I just let it go. And I just went on being jaded. It was dumb. It was immature. There you go. That's me. So I bring this up because maybe others need to be cleansed from this leprosy, you know, this spiritual leprosy that we have towards other people, you know. And I'm not talking about the contagious leprosy, but what I am talking about is the things that we see on other people. Addiction. You know, folks, we're not going to catch addiction. Sit down to an addict, you're not going to become an addict. It's not contagious, especially for a child of God. If you know who you are in Christ, you're never, ever going to catch that stuff. You're not going to catch homelessness. You're not going to catch poverty. You're not going to catch abusive behavior or neglect by coming into contact with these people. Okay? You know, maybe like me, like the leprosy that I had toward the church, maybe some of our hearts are hardened. Maybe some of us, our compassion is very low. I don't know. But that's a leprosy. right? That's something that we need to get out. That's something that we need to have to be healed of, to be freed of. Not for our own good, but for the good of the kingdom of God, for the advancement of the kingdom, to glorify God, and so that we can be all that he wants us to be, that he's created us to be toward those that don't know him. You know, sometimes I don't know that we necessarily look inwardly on ourselves, but I wanted to bring this to us so that we have the opportunity to look and repent if need be, and then follow through and commit to just getting busy doing the work that Jesus did with these people, with the unapproachable, with the separated, with these leprous people that are all around us. They're all around us. They're all around us. Maybe there's a leprosy in your heart towards somebody that you might call brother and sister. You know, maybe there's some unforgiveness even. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but if you're neglecting that, I would say this is call out to Jesus and ask him, heal me of that. Okay? Look, I got a long road to go. I am the chief of sinners in this regard. Right? So I'm not saying this in any kind of judgment toward anyone. If you know me, a few of you do, I usually rake myself over the coals pretty good before I ever present anything. So I know one thing about this particular congregation is that you love each other, you love Jesus, and you love your community. So I don't want this to come off as harsh, and I'm not accusing any one person. I don't have anyone in mind when I bring this stuff up. I just want us to be able to look at ourselves and repent if we need to, and then get busy with ministering to the leper, because they're everywhere. And, you know, the days are short. The time is short. And there's so many out here that don't know that God loves them. There's so many out here that don't know that they were made in the image of God. They have no clue. They're stuck. They're stuck in this whatever it is in their life, and they don't know the way out. We have the keys, guys. Followers of Christ have the keys. And that's just what I wanted to leave you with, okay? So let me pray, and we'll let you guys go. Sorry I ran over. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you. Lord, as we approach you, you are always willing to touch us. You are always willing to heal us of the infirmities that we have, whether it's physical or a heart issue. God, I just thank you for that you came to make us whole. Lord, help us to continue to strive toward that wholeness. Help us to continue to seek you out and all the things that we lack, God, because you have everything for us. You have all the things to perfect us, ready and waiting for us, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves like your word says, return to you like your word says, Lord, and be healed. Help us to put these things into action when you give them to us. Help us to just be loving toward each other and graceful at all times, Lord, and just help us to use our own lives, Lord, as a testimony to you, as a testimony toward you to those that don't know you, God. Help us to be bold. Help us to grab that person that doesn't know you by the hand, be their friend, and tell them about you in every instance that we can, God. I just ask that you would help us to be mindful of that. Lord, thank you again for this place. Thank you for its leadership and just the richness that is here and the elders and the leaders here. I just am so thankful for that. Thank you for this foundation that you have here. Lord, I just ask that you use this ministry here, God, this body, this small body here, God, to impact this this community for your kingdom's sake, for your glory. Lord, so I just want to offer each one to you, our lives into your service. Lord, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do we have one more song? All right, so you guys have a good week, and thank you again.